If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Parents, summertime is almost here. Enroll your child in the Bethel Deliverance International Church Summer Program, Camp Bethel. Camp Bethel features swimming, karate, barbecues, daily meals and snacks, and trips to places including Hershey Park, Camel Beach, and Ellis Island. Enrollment has begun, so don't delay. Call 215-885-2585 for more information, or visit us online at betheldeliverance.org.
So the Father says, I'm in this valley, the valley that you can do it. How do you know the Father is in the valley of God can do it? Because he brings the Son to Jesus. He brings him. That's his way of saying, you can do it. But when he reaches this particular point, his Son is going through the convulsion, and he says, if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. So there you see the classic struggle. I bring him because I believe you can, but when I see him going through this, I just want you to do something. Now, you look at this thing and you think that there is a demon that of epilepsy, but Jesus is the originator of specificity. So that means he will address what the real problems are. He doesn't play around with ambiguities and uncertainties. He doesn't do that if it be your will. Jesus deals with the real problem. The woman at the well, she searches for God to worship. But her problem was she put her confidence in men. So after Jesus reveals himself and the ultimate purpose of God was to search out for true worshipers, he then, after setting her up to fulfill the desire of worship, he says, go call your husband. She says, I don't have one. He says, you've well spoken. You've had five, and the one you have now is not yours. You've had six men in your life. Six is the number of man, which means you've been looking for man to solve that emptiness inside of you. But I'm the seventh man that you met, and I'm the last man that you need. But what was interesting about that, because if you think of faith, always remember this. Never forget this. Never, ever, never, ever, never. And teach you some brain exercises, how to graduate stuff from your short-term memory and put it into your long-term memory. Problem with your long-term memory, it has too many files in it. And that's why stuff can't get through. And every time you put something else in your long-term memory, it pushes something else to the back. That's why you can't remember algebra from school, because you have bills. And I'll tell you how I know you've forgotten your math from school. You spend more than you make, and you've forgotten that the math don't work. You make $500 a week, and you spend six. You've forgotten that the math doesn't work. So somewhere in there, you have to go retrieve that file. Watch this. So here we have this situation where we're not memorizing principles. And so our minds begin to just forget them. The principles of faith are simple. Find it, read it, say it, do it. That's it. Throughout the Christian community, everybody tends to make it so difficult. Jesus taught faith just by saying, look at the birds. He didn't make it some rich theology where we have to write a whole commentary. He just said, look at the birds. Isn't it insulting to see ants and squirrels running around here being provided for, and you're worrying about God taking care of you? Now, ants and squirrels don't eat chitlins and, you know, city dressed salt pork, and, you know, they don't take in all that stuff to kill their bodies, but they have diets that are high in fiber because they eat leaves, they eat nuts, they, you know, things that are good for them. But again, it goes back to them understanding that their body's response is directly related to God's provision. For years, he's watched his boy have these seizures, and he has felt helpless. He hears about Jesus' miraculous ability. He draws the conclusion that if these men are walking with Jesus, then some of what Jesus is, some of who Jesus is, has rubbed off on them. So I'll take a shot and bring my son to them. What's apparent in this passage is that the disciples tried. They tried. They had to have tried, or the Father wouldn't have said they couldn't do anything. I think they were given to zeal for the moment and tried to say what Jesus said, tried to do what Jesus did. And there's nothing wrong with that, because it wasn't the works that failed. Jesus didn't rebuke their effort. He didn't say you laid the wrong hand on them. He said you didn't believe it. I speak to my godson when he takes a test in school. I said, Darius, how'd you make out? He says to me, I don't know, Dad. I said, what do you mean you don't know? He said, I didn't get the results back. I said, that's not what I asked you. I did not ask you what the score was. I asked you, how did you do? He says, I don't know, Dad. I said, what do you mean you don't know? He says, I didn't get the results back. I said, boy, listen to me. I'm not interested in the score. I'm asking how you did. He said, I don't know what you're talking about. You got to explain it to me. I said, you know how you did. He said, what do you mean? I said, was the test difficult? Did the questions stump you? Were you without understanding? He says, no. I said, then you did well. When you go to lay hands on somebody and pray for them, you need not say, how do you feel? Because when you say, how do you feel, then you aren't sure you moved in faith. You need a score. Yes. When I teach classes, I never give grades. They take tests from me, I never give the test back. They sit there, when we getting our test back, what do you need them for? To see how we did. You don't know how you did? Why do you need the test back? So I can be encouraged. How are you encouraged? By a 90. Far as I know, you could have had dirty palms like I did to get through trigonometry. But God, when we're dealing with faith, God doesn't want you going around praying for people. How do you feel? Do you still have the pain? No, because you should enter into it with the expectation that it's going to be well because I prayed according to his will. Many of us pray for people and we pray for the wrong need. But not Jesus. See, you ain't gonna pull one over on Jesus. Jesus has it together. So the boy comes down. Now, if that had been one of us in today's culture, the boy would have been foaming, rolling on the floor. We stand him up. Stand him up. Take hold to him. Deacons holding him like cops at a riot. Ushers standing there with their cloths to mummify him. Gotta wrap him up. Amen. Now they wrap up men. I can't believe it. Our ushers wrap everybody up. They wrap everybody up, Ernie. They wrap you up. They wrap up everything but a Christmas present. Our ushers are like ninjas. They come out of nowhere. What was my time? Like a rodeo. Put that Bethel brand on them after you got them down on the ground. They wrap you up, boy. Holy Ghost says, I'm trying to get through to him. I can't get through that thick cloth. He said, they look at the angel and say, I thought Jesus tore the veil from top to bottom. Bethel, and put it back up. By this time next week, somebody doesn't go out and tell the ushers that Bishop Lambert don't want y'all using cloth anymore. Because somebody in here will take what I said and pervert it and lie to the ushers and discourage that cloth ministry. I know, so I can look in your face. Y'all just chomping up at the folks. Boy, Bishop don't want nobody wrapped up no more. I know my people. So Jesus isn't concerned about all the extras. So the boy comes down to be ministered to. While he's there, he has the seizure. Jesus investigates. The Father gives the answer. Jesus is not concerned about the boy's need, because the boy's need is not the problem. The boy didn't bring himself. The boy didn't cast himself down. Jesus addresses the father. The father has a degree of faith, but his faith is conflicted by his reality. He takes a step backward. He brings the son to the disciples, which was an act of faith. When he brings his son, he's expecting something good to come out of this. They let him down, so he backs up. He reverts to hope again. He steps out of faith, which is now, and goes back into hope, which is, I hope it will be. Jesus comes down. They engage in dialogue. The father says, if there's anything that you can do, help us. Jesus looks at him with surprise. He says to him, if I can do anything, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe. The father realizes a door has opened. It has given him, his foot can now get in there. But he's unable, he's incapable of bringing his whole body in. So now he says, I do believe. That's why I brought him. But help my unbelief. There's the struggle. James comes later to give us revelation and says a double-minded person is unstable in all of their ways. What does that mean? It means that on the one hand, I believe God can do it. But on the other hand, I'm uncertain as to if he will. And there, beloved of God, lies the valley of decision that I spoke of earlier. Will God do it? Will he not? This is never more real for us than when we're praying for a loved one who is close to death. We bind every devil we can bind to snatch them from that sickness. And then some well-meaning Christian will say, well, are you sure God wants to heal them? Do you know if it's their time or not? And then all of a sudden they've planted that option. Now you are believing, but not sure anymore. So then you begin to find other people who can enter your new realm of unbelief. Oh, it's unbelief now. And so now we're grabbing God. God, let me know. Let me know. And God says, well, see, that's why I told you over in Proverbs that first you come to me, and then I'll direct your path. I don't know why we think God won't let us know when it's time. Why don't you believe that God will let you know, release that person, I'm calling them home. Why do you think it has to be such a struggle for you to rest in uncertainty and then fight with your faith that will ultimately discourage you and keep you from praying for anybody else? Why do you think that God is some hard, callous sovereign who wants to sit in heaven and play with your heart? Why do you think God won't put it inside of you? I'm getting ready to take my child home. Because like this father, you believe that he can, but there's so much physical evidence that he might not.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number 04415A. Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.